Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 284. This is the show where we talk about Android apps. A bunch of guys on the show talking about a bunch of apps, and maybe we'll talk about something you have not heard of before. You can install on your phone and device, and thank us later. Let me introduce the co-hosts, and we'll get into some cool stuff. Let's start with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Big Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing really good.
That's good.
Got my lollipop update.
Well, that, and you don't have 6 feet of snow, so you're doing really good.
And that's, it ain't going to happen down here, I don't think. Even though, I think, because I live in Florida, if anybody doesn't know, I think they salted the roads here. I think they got a little scared from just all, like, the snow craze going on. Yeah, because I was driving my car, and I heard all these, like little, like, hitting the side of my door on this main road. And
could it be kitty litter and not salt? I'm just saying, maybe.
I don't know. It's possible.
I don't know. But I'll also say I am genuinely happy to hear the fact that you got lollipop and I have like 80 days left before I get it, because I consider you to be like a beta tester now, because I'm not ROMing my device. So now you're officially a beta tester.
All right. For everyone listening, this is Door's way of being sour that he doesn't get it by pretending that he doesn't want it.
No comment.
All right. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
I know for sure that the roads were salted here. And hey, you know, one of our listeners, Kevin, he was driving in Oklahoma, and he showed a picture on our Android App Addicts Club that was a very, very icy road. So that's probably why you got the preventive maintenance of the salt. And we've only got maybe 1/60th of an inch of snow so far, so we're nowhere close to Dirty Thumbs' problems either here.
Yeah, for those of you who remember back in the day when Sean Johnson was on the show, he lives in Buffalo where they got basically slammed with the snow. I haven't talked to him. Is he? Because last time I talked to him, the other side of Buffalo got hit and he was okay. Did he finally get his?
Yeah, he said south side literally had like 6 feet. He was north side where he said, we only got 2 feet. You know, that's nothing. We can handle that. But then like 2 hours later, he said, I think we're getting hit now.
Oh, man.
So I think he ended up with like 3+ feet of snow, which I don't know how 6 inches doesn't stop everything. But apparently, you know, 2 feet of snow to him is just, you know, whatever.
In Buffalo, I guess they're prepared.
I guess mentally prepared and physically prepared. And they got a lot of toilet paper in their stores, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know how you get prepared mentally or physically to open up your door and see snow taller than you. That I don't want to know.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you're right. 6 feet.
So,
the lollipop thing. Yeah. I'm a little bummed out because all these, even somebody in our chat, live chat right now, says they just got the pop on his Nexus 7. 2012 version. I got the 2013 version. I'm checking like every 3 minutes.
No, checking all day. Checking does not help at all. It actually can hurt.
Oh, they punish the anxious one?
Well, a Google guy came out on, I believe, Reddit, and he exposed the algorithm on how it gets downloaded. When they first do it, there's a random 10% that's picked. A week later, 25% is picked. And it could take up for a month for you to get the full spectrum of everyone. So it's literally a random thing.
Checking hurt him?
Yeah. Well, because he hinted that if you overcheck too much, you're literally penalized and you will not get it on the next round.
Why?
I don't know.
That's the opposite of everything.
I don't know.
That should be.
I don't know, but I'll also say this.
That sounds very Google.
I literally do kind of believe. Rush. You're going to get it. You're going to get it pretty soon. And correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, while it isn't a big change, it's a big change.
I didn't read about what is actually involved with it. To me, it just looks a little different. And the Gmail looks a little cooler and the calendar looks a little cooler. It's just everything is, I guess, a little different. I have no idea what's really under the hood. So,
well, the big difference is the old Android ran off of a different backend runtime, a different engine, a different kernel, if you will. And this version is the first version to use the ART runtime instead of Davlik runtime. So as far as under the hood, this is actually a monumental shift, but they literally gave developers like a year plus to get your app up to speed, get it changed, get it
ready. What's the advantage of running Art over Davlik?
The difference is Davlik needs to have everything.
Is it Dalvik or Dalvik?
I think it's Dalvik. When you download a Dalvik app, it basically then does not compile it for your app. And then when you load the app, there's a little work done at the front end when you load the app or when you first run the app after any boot to do some final laying out of files and applications and permissions. With
anyway, what I'm trying to ask is like, is it more efficient?
It's supposed to be faster and better battery efficient.
Gotcha. That works for me. You
should have cut me off sooner, Steve.
I didn't know how geeky you were going to get with
Come
that explanation.
Come on now, you know me.
All right. Well, this show is going to be a little bit of a combination. We're going to read some listener email and feedback, and we're going to talk about some games. So it's like our game show / listener email jammed into one. Let me start off with the emails here. Get them out of the way first. This one's from Angelo. He says, Android mixers for Steve. You can find these for free in the Google Play Store. They are completely accessible using TalkBack. I had to label two buttons. Not bad. One's called Wireless Mixer. And I don't know if he has a link to the Play Store in that for that one. So I'll put what he gave me in the chat there. And the other one is called... Oh, no, that's it. Wireless Mixer. And it's from a company called Travkovsky. And he makes a bunch of Android apps. It's a very geeky audio mixer that looks really cool that I want to play with. And if you're an audio person, you might like it. It's got level sliders and buttons and knobs and geeky stuff.
My mind is literally blown. Because you have to have, when I think of mixer, I think physical inputs and outputs.
Mm-hmm. It allows you to mix sounds directly on your... Right. Remember that this application is not a mixer that you can mix sounds directly on your device. It is a MIDI controller for your music applications. Oh.
So is that...
Here's what it does. Okay. If anybody... Sorry with the word MIDI. If you don't know what MIDI is, it's just a electronic computer term. Basically, what this allows you to do is control other applications on your computer, on your desktop computer from your Android device. Like, say you have a computer program that makes music on your computer, you can use this device and control that program from this device using MIDI, which is the interface for that. Does that make sense?
It does, but it still sounds crazy. I mean, this seems like absurdly, ridiculously powerful for a free app.
Yeah. MIDI controllers are very cool. They give you, they're so customizable. They give you lots of power to just tweak stuff with a different type of interface. Anyway,
so does it Bluetooth to your computer then?
I'm guessing Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty sure it's Wi-Fi. But it's awesome, and it's got all these customizable things in it. So happy mixing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Angelo. That rocks. I love that geeky stuff. I might bring that up on my EDM podcast. Todd writes, emerging music videos. Came across a new music discovery app. I know music isn't really up Door's alley. Is that true, Door?
Oh, as long as it's 30 years old.
No, stop, Eric. No, I'll just say with the advent, with the discovery on my part of podcast, I don't listen to a lot of music at all anymore. I mean, maybe an hour a week at most.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I don't listen to much either myself, to be honest. He says, I know music really isn't up Door's alley, especially since listening to it at 2.5x really spoils the experience. I might get Eric to check it out, though. I'm constantly on the lookout for new music. While I enjoy listening to songs I like multiple times, I still need that crack-like high of finding a new favorite song. RoarMix is a handy app that can conceivably help me with my need. It's called RoarMix. It's a curated list of videos from emerging unsigned artists. Huh. The UI is very similar to a YouTube experience, so it's a familiar feel. Overall, a very nicely done app that I have been getting a great deal of enjoyment out of. Hope the listeners may as well. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Todd.
That's spelled a little bit different.
I put it in the chat. M-I-X. Oh, okay. I have checked this out. I read this email earlier and checked it out, and it's a beautiful app on your phone. It does just what he says. It's a great way to find different bands, especially now with, like, you know, ever since Cinema came up on that Nuts at Night show, I've been liking Skrillex, right? So. Yeah. You know, you type in Skrillex as a search term, and then it just gives you, you know, a lot of the dubstep and EDM heavy kind of music like that sounds similar. So if you like one, you're going to like a lot of those. And if I had my eyes shut, I wouldn't really know it was, you know, who it was that was playing it. Because even on, like, on Skrillex's stations, you know, there's a lot of different bands that play, you know, and they're all similar types of a similar type of music there.
So the music on this was quality music.
I didn't do a lot of genres, honestly. I think that dubstep and Skrillex was, like, the only kind of genres I searched through. So, you know, when you get into, I guess, more folky vocal kind of stuff, you know, the lyrics are gonna matter more, you know, as far as.
Yeah, I guess so. It might be a little bit I wouldn't say easier to make the music, but you can get a more professional sounding music with electronic music rather than, you know, if you're, like, an independent artist and you don't go in a professional music studio, your acoustic stuff might not sound as good.
Yeah. I have that problem when I'm, you know, I like Pink Floyd, but if I go into, like, Groove Shark or something and type in Pink Floyd and want to listen to similar artists or Spotify or something, it gives me a lot of stuff I really, really, really didn't want to hear.
Really?
Yeah, because unfortunately they're from the 70s, and that's the only band I liked from the 70s, I think. Everything else is just music you grew up with. I don't like.
Yeah, I don't listen to much from the 70s either. Even though I was at the Village Inn today and they were playing a lot of 70s music, I heard Blinded by the Light.
Wow. What's he wrapped up like?
Like a deuce. I don't know. What does he say there?
I don't know. I've always wondered, though.
People say it's a douche. Anyway, Blinded by the Light. YouTube it with new YouTube music. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, YouTube Key, I believe it's called. Music Key.
Oh, it is?
Where you can get... Every kid these days listens to music. Whenever they choose to listen to music, they always go to YouTube listen to music. So YouTube's just making it easier for them to use that tool. And if you subscribe to Google Music Key, then there's no ads.
How much does it cost?
I believe it's $9.99 a month.
So I missed something, because I was really bummed out the other night when I found out that that YouTube.com/disco has been discontinued. So is this something that takes the place of it?
It is. Yeah. Do you remember in your Android application, you could get Google Play Music and then you could get the All Access Pass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that same thing, but now you also have access to YouTube Music Key, which is like Vimeo on steroids. Not Vimeo. Vimeo? What's it called on YouTube?
Yeah, Vimeo. Yeah. 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 Vivo.
Yeah. You know what I mean. It's that where you can just make music playlist up, yada yada yada, and no ads.
So YouTube.com/disco is no.
I paid person.
What was that disco?
Basically, disco was you would type in YouTube.com/disco, and type in an artist or a song, and it would make a playlist of that artist or song for you, and you could just listen to it and watch the videos.
I don't know, but I'll also say Google announced today. I can't remember the name of it. Supposedly, you can go pay Google money a month, and you will never see a Google ad on any website.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And even in searches?
Yeah. It was on my Google Plus feed. It's called, like, Google... it gives a C.
God mode?
No, it's like... Not Constructure, not Concierge. It gives a C. I can't remember what it is.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Well, the question is then, you have to stop and ask yourself, how much would you pay to never see an ad again from Google?
I might pay $10 a month.
That's
but what, you know what this is going to do? I mean, you know how many
No.
Advertisers are going to be pissed off about this. This is like Google taking it to the next level of monopoly.
Do you know what I think it's going to do? It's going, basically now Google is putting consumers and advertisers directly head to head on who will pay more. Will consumers pay more? Or will advertisers pay more? Come on, consumers.
When you ask the question, how much would you pay to that? I'm like, not as much as they're going to pay to make sure they're in front of me. Contributor. Google contributor is what it's called.
Wow. Things are changing, huh? It's very cool.
Well, and that's why I think I like Google in reality, is just because they just disrupt so much. Everything they do, they just disrupt.
They do. They really do.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel writes, "Hey guys, I don't like voicemail. Phones bother me. So I made an audio clip for you. Turns out this app was brought up on episode 105, but I think it deserves another look." And he gave us the app. It was called Llama. Mm-hmm. And I put the link in the chat. It's called Llama Location Profiles. Thanks for listening and for producing. Dan from Boston. And here is the message Daniel sent us. Probably the best quality audio message we've ever received and probably will ever receive for the foreseeable future. This thing just sounds dynamite. Here we go.
What's going on, AAA crew? This is Dan from Boston. I wanted to bring up this app, Llama, L-L-A-M-A. It's spelled like the animal. I don't know if this was brought up before, but it made me think of it because, Dor, a couple episodes ago, you had said that your go-to application, when somebody says, "Can my phone do this?" is Tasker. And while I agree with you, because Tasker can do anything, it's pretty daunting for most users. And I know that there are some things that try to, you know, bring down the entry level kind of learning curve. Llama is just a great alternative. It's a lot more simple. You can do simple things like, when I'm at home, turn down my ringer. Or when I get into the car, right, it'll and I always pop open my podcast player. Listen to Android App Addicts, of course. So when my podcast player opens, it turns on Bluetooth. When my podcast player closes, it turns off Bluetooth. You can see that saves battery. There are a bunch of other things you can do with it, too. Possibilities are endless. I'm not going to go into them. Hey, listen, guys, great show. I listen every week. Keep it up. This is Dan from Boston signing off.
Dan, thank you for that. I almost didn't want to play that because he sounds better than me. Sounded really good.
I know.
Talking about the app, though, Llama looks pretty cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, here's what I suggest to anybody. Whenever someone suggests an app, whether it's me or your brother, sister, whoever, go look at the app and then go all the way down to the bottom and look for similar apps to it. Because whenever you look at Tasker, I'm sure Llama is down in that similar apps thing. I'm never sure what limitations Llama has. I know if it's the kind of app that can meet your needs, it is so much more digestible than Tasker. But I'm not sure of its limitations. So, yeah, I believe him because he sounds fantastic.
A man with good quality audio cannot be wrong.
Exactly.
I'm going to check it out. I need to get something going with my Bluetooth because it gets wonky when it's on all the time. And Llama might do the trick.
What does it do?
With the Bluetooth receiver in my car, I have to always turn my Bluetooth off and then on again when I'm in my car to get it to work with it. Like if it's on and Bluetooth is on and I walk in my car or sit in my car, however you get into a car, you can't really walk into it. I have to turn it off and on again for it to like recognize it. And that pisses me off. Does it happen with any?
Boy, this sounds like it would work good for you then.
Yeah.
If that's perfect. What you wanted to do.
Yeah. I don't use Bluetooth ever.
Ever.
It's never enabled on my phone. And when it is, it's only because I'm test playing with a game and using a Bluetooth controller.
I use Bluetooth every day, but mine's just the opposite of Steve's. I leave my Bluetooth on my phone all the time, but then I don't have it built into the car, so I have to turn the Bluetooth on manually. It'll disconnect after I go out of range, and I have to press the power button to reconnect when I get back in the car. There's nothing I can do about that. That's just the way it's built.
Really?
It's a Motorola. It's a Bluetooth FM transmitter and all in one.
I see. It's got to be. If it's FM, it's Eric.
Yeah. If it doesn't say FM transmitter on the box, and I'm not even going to think about buying it. I had the lady at the store write it on the note for box for me before I left. Can you take that Sharpie over there and just type, you know, FM?
You should do like your an FM podcast all about FM.
AAFM. I won't go into my spiel about why every phone should have FM transmitters built into them again.
I think you already did.
Oh, again, yeah, no, yeah.
You did.
Soham writes, "Hey guys, this will be the last email I read for today, and we'll talk about some games real quick. Hey guys, I was on the hunt for some cool wallpaper apps, and I found an app called Facets by Justin Mahler. He has one piece of artwork for each day, and they make awesome backgrounds. You can get the artwork for free by going on his website, or if you want to apply it to your computer, at facets.la. But he also has an app that makes it really easy to apply wallpapers, and best of all, it supports him, and it's only 99 cents. There's a huge variety of wallpapers ranging from dark to clean or even symmetrical. I don't think I've sent this recommendation through. Here's the link to the Play Store. Keep up the great work, and I love your show. From Soham, finally got my phone fixed, not charging issue, but have to send it back for repair for overheating issues. Frowny face."
Ooh.
Yeah, that is frowny face. No, I know how you feel, Soham. I just went through an issue similar. I don't know if it was overheating or what the problem was, but...
And Eric will again soon, Soham, so let's wait for him to break his phone somehow.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'll say, I know... Here's the thing. I know this is a good app because if you look at the screenshots, one of the images there I've seen in the background of MKBHD videos, he had that image on his desk.
Wow.
So there's no doubt in my mind that this is a app that's only going to get more and more and more popular with people like that.
I'm into it. You know, I'm Autumn Leaves was cool for 2 weeks, but I think I'm done with it now. So this will be a nice change.
Oh, did I tell you what I did with Autumn Leaves?
No, I don't think so.
I loved it. I used it as a tool. Okay. I literally walked into people's cubes and I turned it on and then I just moved it around and then I just waited a second. I said, "Hey," and they would turn around and they would like stare at the phone and go, and then I like had them mesmerized and I said, "Okay, I need you to do this for me. Can you do that?" And they're like, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Okay, great. Thank you. Goodbye."
So you used it as some sort of a trance, hypnotic tool to get things yes. done. Oh, that's nice.
Yep. Sure did. And it worked good, Eric. Thank you very much.
Maybe you should they should repurpose it. Like Autumn Hypnotism.
Well, I'll say... I'm going to leave it installed on my phone just for those times when I quote unquote need it, but I am installing this app.
That's awesome. Well, thanks guys for writing us those emails. We really appreciate it. And sending us the excellent quality audio mail file. Let's talk about some games. Eric, what do you got?
Oh, I'm going to beat door to it then. Cause
maybe not.
Oh man, I got so many tabs open. I can't find it now. Okay. Here it is. All right, back in the day, you don't hear me talking about retro games too often. I'm not much of a nostalgia guy. This one took me back, and I have to share it with everybody. It's called Javelin Masters 2. Was that it, Dor? Oh, nope. Good. So if you look at the screenshot of Javelin Masters 2, I think it may have been part of the Olympics games on Atari, or it was just... Javelin on Atari, but basically I remember moving my hand back and forth really fast and then hitting the red button at the right time to throw a javelin, and this is exactly that.
Take that out of context, people, and you got yourself something. I'll say when I saw this, I immediately thought track and field because I did see this app.
Yeah,
but this doesn't look like track and field. This is the graphics aren't as good as track and field, actually. But I don't remember this on Atari. This might...
Whatever game it was on Atari, because you had Javelin and Shot Put, and they were identical games.
I think it was... Okay, I think it was Track and Field for Atari. That's what this probably reminds you of. Because Track and Field in the arcade had pretty good graphics. Yeah, this looks like the Atari version of Track and Field. Okay, that makes sense. I get you now.
So instead of moving your stick back and forth, there's two foot... buttons, and you just tap back and forth with your fingers really fast, and for some reason when you break the foul line, it makes a whistle sound that's really disturbing to my dog, and I couldn't really get out of her why.
You couldn't ask her why?
No, she just kept, she was asleep and it woke her up just to hear that, that whistle, the foul whistle.
Nice.
This looks awesome. This does bring me back.
It does. Oh, and they actually have it to where it, at least on the movie, you don't have to tap both the buttons. You can literally slide back.
Right. Oh, I didn't try that.
Because I tell you now, with track and field in the arcade, how I used to cheat was I would pull out my pocket knife, or I would literally steal a spoon from my house and use the spoon to go over top the buttons really quick.
Right. No, that's much more efficient than sliding your finger from one to the next. I mean, tapping on both buttons, you could do that much faster than sliding back and forth. So,
well, you can't use two hands, though, because you got to throw the javelin with your left, with your other hand.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe use two fingers, like on a swivel, like Dora's talking about with the spoon. Yeah, I don't like that sliding back and forth. That's shame on that video. Cool app, though. Very cool. It does bring me back. All right, Dora, what game you got?
Okay, I am also bringing it back. This was an arcade game, and I believe it was a Super Nintendo game, possibly. It's called, I think it's called Klix. K-L-I-X, exclamation point, English version. Long story short, you have five assembly line type rollers coming at you with different colored pieces on it. You can catch one piece at a time, move it, and dump it. And it's almost like 1980 something Candy Crush, in the sense of you got to make colors line up in color based games. This is a $1.24 app, which I just think is weird to charge exactly $1.24, but hey, this took me back, is all I'll say.
I don't remember this in the arcade.
I remember playing this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
When I go to Crab Town, hon, down in Glen Bruny, with all the old arcade games, they got a Klix machine there. and it's literally from like 82 or something.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
And I remember playing it on, I think, Super Nintendo.
Yeah, weird. I never played it. Looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so, and I will agree with Darth Anthony. This is basically kind of like 1982 Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was thinking Root Beer or Tap Master or whatever.
You mean Tapper?
Tapper.
Tap Master.
Yeah, they have Tapper there too, and I suck.
Remember when it used to be just be called Tapper, and he would serve up Budweiser, and then they changed it to Root Beer Tapper?
No. Oh.
Yeah, it was Tapper. He was serving up beers, and then I guess they didn't want kids doing that in the arcades, so they changed it to Root Beer Tapper.
Right. Huh. Well, I will say Crab Town down in Glen Bruny, they have Tapper. They don't have Root Beer Tapper.
Really?
Tapper.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever seen Root Beer Tapper. I think I've seen Tapper.
Oh.
I've seen that, I want to say, like a boardwalk type setting.
I could go for a Root Beer right now. I haven't had that in a while. All right. Cool, man. Klix. Want to do one more game each? All right, Eric, what do you got?
Sure. Yeah, I've got, this is just a goofy kind of crazy game. I'll give it to you here. It's called Turbo Dismount. And basically what it is you are driving some sort of a vehicle and you rev up your engine to a certain point and you let her go and you see how badly of a crash you can make with your person who's driving.
I love these kind of games.
It's got
like
kind of
ragdoll physics.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, it's got some physics to it, but it's a little, you know, glitchy kind of graphics. It's not perfect all the time. And the weird thing is it's got a lot of advertisements for Zen Bound. Remember that rope game that we brought a long time ago where you got to tie things up with a rope? Like all the billboards in the background all are advertising that game for some reason. I think it was a part of the Humble Bundle or something.
Does it go as slow as the video?
No, you can. I think you can play it back in slow motion like that.
Okay.
No, it goes fast, and there's multiple camera angles as you're playing and the replays too.
It's pretty cool. Great idea, but you're saying it's not executed as good as it could be, huh?
Yeah,
animation wise,
it's kind of, you know, where you get like the cat simulator and the sheep simulator. They got some physics there, but they're not really, you know, spending hours and days and years on the physics.
I guess.
Where they could, but the game would never come out. So this is, it's just fun the way it is. It's just goofy enough that, you know, it's not annoying or nothing, right, as far as the bad physics. But, and it's got enough good physics to make up for it, because parts of your body, you know, separate like they should when you get your head ran over by a tire and things like that.
I love these kind of games. That's awesome. All right, Dory, you got anything on this one before we go over to you?
I like the idea of ragdoll physics. Now, there used to be, Need for Speed,
flat
I would
out.
Say, had a crash thing.
Flat out?
Yeah, flat out. This, I think I would like this better, because this is like all the physics is in the person is what you're really focusing on.
Yeah. Flat out was fun, though. Like, you'd launch them at that giant dartboard or do like the pole vault.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Very cool. All right, guys, how about,
Did Dodor get to bring a second game?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked because I could have sworn I played Flat Out very recently, but I don't know how I could have possibly done that. I played Flat Out recently, like a month ago. How could I have done that?
Your brother's house? I don't know.
Maybe I was just watching videos. Go ahead, Dodor. What's your last game?
Okay, this game might seem like a regurgitation, but it's not. This harkens back to Timster. This first game was a Timster game. That's how old the original game is. And it's called Jet Car Stunts.
I remember he brought that.
From True Axis. Yeah. I am scared to admit how many hours I've spent in Jet Car Stunts. It's quite a lot, and my kids genuinely liked the game, but the game was a little bit too hard for them to really play. Jet Car Stunts 2 is basically the same kind of experience, but definitely jacked up a little bit more, gorgeous looking. Not easy.
No, it looks hard.
It does. I like the idea of it, but I can see myself playing it for like 3 minutes and totally giving up on this thing.
Because it looks like you could almost fly now with the jet engines.
Well, you could before, but it was always very short. I mean, it was always super light physics. You always drifted a lot in the air. You know what I mean? You could go far. In the old one, I would literally encourage people, if you look at this game and you think it's too hard, go get Jet Car Stunts Light. It's free. Play it. And that's like a good warm up to this, because it's basically the same type of physics. The biggest difference to me is this interface on Jet Car Stunts 2 is much more complex. You got to be ready to play it.
Damn.
Or else, you know.
Looked great, though. Is it free?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is completely free. They do offer in-app purchases for extra tracks and stuff. You can get your fill, I'll say, without paying for it.
Awesome. Cool, guys. Great games. Good show. Just want to say thanks, everybody, for buying t-shirts and hoodies and women's shirts. We made our target. Crushed it. We still have 3 days left as of the recording of this show. But yeah, there's 3 days left. Wait, I can't say that because it's already over.
Good news is they got printed.
We
made
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We made it. Good call. Thanks, everybody, for doing that. I'm psyched. I got 2 t-shirts and I can't wait to get them. I think they're going to be delivered in the middle of December, but we're definitely going to get them before Christmas. So yeah. That's very cool. Yep. So thanks, guys, for that. I'm super happy and you guys really pulled through. Well, let's see if the guys have anything to say before we end off. Eric, want to say anything to the folks?
I'm excited about getting my shirts. I never got a hoodie the first time around. This time I got myself a hoodie. So, and I, you know, honestly, I don't own a hoodie. So this will be my first hoodie I've ever had. Oh, well, maybe sweet. I had one when I was 6 that I can't remember or something. But yeah, I'm psyched.
That's cool. I don't have any meaningful hoodies like this. Well, actually, I do have a muffled stick hoodie from Mike Motto. But other than that, I have like cheesy like teams that I don't even care about hoodies. But I should have got a hoodie. I didn't get one.
You still can. Dude, you got 3 days.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's right. Thanks. Dor, do you want to say anything to the folks before we end off?
Yes, muffle stick. Mike Motto, we love you. Yeah, I love hoodies. I'll say that. T-shirts are good. T-shirts are nice. You know what I mean? T-shirts are like gold. But hoodies are like rubies. You know what I mean?
No.
They're like a good step up. I love hoodies. So thank you, Steve, for doing the artwork. Thank you, Steve, for starting the campaign. And thank you, Steve, for remembering every episode just about thereof to remind people about it. And thank everyone out there for helping publicize that we're doing this. And when I say that, I mean, thank you, Kevin McLaughlin, Soham, and everyone else who reposted this kind of stuff. And I can't wait.
Yeah, me too.
I'm getting a hoodie.
I'm giddy. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for today. See you next time.